kids are dismissed. And I want to make sure I cover this right from the beginning. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers that are out there. I don't want to be one of those guys. And the kids, that's amazing with the kids. And they're praying and stuff in front of the adults. That's pretty cool. Do you guys practice that at home with them? No? So your kids don't pray at home? I'm just joking. So it sure is great to see everybody here this morning. Our story this morning is about King David and some mistakes that he made. But it is said in Scripture that he was a man after God's own heart. And so we are able to mess things up in our life, but the blood of Jesus Christ covers those difficulties that we go through, and he welcomes us back into the fold. The whole Scripture, if you read it, it's all about reconciliation back to God. And from the first man that sinned and woman that sinned, all the way to our time. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross and was hanging there, the veil in the temple was torn in two, and that veil separated regular people, us, from God to the Holy of Holies. And when Christ's blood and his sacrifice of his love, and which we remember in communion every week here, was torn in two. That veil was torn in two. And when that veil was torn in two, that Christ gave us a bridge to bring us back into relationship with Jesus Christ and with God the Father. And the Holy Spirit indwells within us. And hopefully all of you believe that the Holy Spirit's indwelling within you. And like Carl said this morning, that he picked up dirt from the ground and breathed life into it. And I like that analogy, that the image of God bending over and picking up dirt that he created, he had just created it a few days before, and I believe that creation is 7 days, 24-hour days, because I think God wants us to believe that he, that's how he established the week, and we're supposed to rest on the day, and we're supposed to be at work, I think, and we're supposed to be at what kind of work? Working diligently to glorify God's name. And throughout Scripture, there are men and women that failed miserably in that at times, isn't there? But God was there to redeem them back into the fold, that he did not want them to be separated. We have all committed sins, and we probably will all continue to do that once in a while in our life. Hopefully it's once in a while and not on a regular basis. Hopefully you're not doing it 24 hours a day sinning. I think with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that God gives us power to overcome those temptations of sin. And in this book, 1 or 2 Samuel chapter 11, at the beginning it talks about, he had a different one in there, I'm sorry. Chapter 11. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Amorites and besieged Rabbath, but David remained in Jerusalem. Anybody see a problem with that? Where were kings supposed to be? Out with their army, fighting the battle, leading the battle, in essence. But where was David? He was back in the palace. And what did he do one night? Probably something he shouldn't have been doing, wandering around on the rooftop. And what did he see? Oh, something he shouldn't have been seeing, right? Something he shouldn't have been looking at. It was Bathsheba. And she was very pleasant to the eye, Scripture says. All of us men can understand that, right? All of us have been in trouble before for that, probably. If you're riding in the car and a beautiful woman that you pass on the street, most of the time you don't gaze at her, because who's in the car with you? Your wife. So when your wife's not in the car with you and you're going down the street, do you do the same thing and you don't gaze at her? Probably not, right? That the wife kind of helps us be what? Honest with ourselves, right? How many of you ever been in trouble with your wife?
Yeah, I have.
It's so much fun, isn't it? That separation is kind of painful, isn't it? Do we feel that separation when we sin in our life? Did David feel that separation here in the story? It doesn't appear that he did, does it? At least not right off the bat. Because what happened after he saw Bathsheba? He brought her to the palace, right? And it says that she was in the time of cleansing, right? So she goes back home after they do something that they're not supposed to be doing with each other. They go back home. David, guilt sets in, right? Because, and the guilt doesn't sound like it set in until somebody picked up the phone and made a phone call and said, "Yo, David, I'm what? I'm pregnant." And then David's like, I'm sure he's thinking to himself, how many of you think you understand what David was going through? Oh my goodness. You know, I think I've been caught. So David figures out a scheme how he's going to do this. So he brings, who does he bring back from battle? Who was it? Her husband. What was his name? Uriah, right? Brings him back from the battle. And we find out that Uriah was a noble warrior, really, right? He wanted to honor what? He was an honorable man, because when he came back and he met with David and ate with David, and David confessed to him, right? Told him everything went on. Now, so here's another problem we have here, right? First, David's in the palace, and he should be out at war. Then David's out wandering around on the rooftop at night, looking at things that he really shouldn't be looking at, right? So there's a problem, right? And then he brings Uriah back from the battle. And what's Uriah come back from the battle for? Because David's going to confess his sin to him, right? And he's going to make things right. Everything's going to be okay. No. How many of us do that when we've been caught in a sin? Do we confess our sins so that we... Because what does sin do between us and God? Separates us. Do we think about that prior to committing the sin? We really ought to be, though, shouldn't we? We're supposed to be taking those thoughts, what in our mind? Captive. Why do we take those thoughts captive? So they don't become what? Sin. Right? Is just the thought of it sin? Is just looking at a beautiful woman sinning? No. When does it go too far? When your mind starts to wander off in areas it ain't supposed to be wandering off with some other woman besides your wife, right? And if you're not married, it's unhealthy to even be wondering about those things anyway, because what is it if you go ahead and fulfill that thought? It's sin. We call it having premarital sex, because that sounds better than I'm going out tonight and having a sin. You know, if we were in a relationship with somebody on this earth that cared about us, that we could be held accountable to, what would that do? Would it help our walk with the Lord? Most definitely. How many of us have a relationship like that? Hopefully, we all do. And if you don't, I encourage you to get in one. So, where's the clock? There it is. So, David brings Uriah back from the battle, right? And he has a meal with him. He says, Uriah, go home. Enjoy that beautiful wife you have. And what's Uriah say? No thanks. Why does Uriah say no thanks? What is the reasoning in that? So David sent this word, Joab, send me Uriah the Hittite, and Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked him, how Joab was. You think David really cared? I don't think so. He just was trying to hide it, right? How are the soldiers? I don't think he really cared how the soldiers were doing either. Why? Because he wasn't there with the soldiers.
And how is the war going? Then David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance of the palace with all of his master's servants and did not go down to the house.
I bet that David was pretty disappointed there, wasn't he?
So what's he do? He invites him to come back tomorrow, right? Come on back to the palace. And what's David do at the palace? Gets him what?
Well, that's honorable.
Because he figures if he's drunk, surely he would go back home with that beautiful woman, Bathsheba, that I saw and I couldn't resist. And God has given me everything I've ever asked for, except her, and I want her.
Boy, that's a terrible thing about sin, isn't it?
It tempts us into thinking that is more valuable than honoring God. But Uriah thought that being the honorable man he was, no, I'm not going home because I'm not going to enjoy my beautiful wife because all the other men are out on the battlefield risking their lives for who? Who's behind him? King who? King David. They're risking their lives for King David. And David's at the palace being promiscuous with one of the soldiers' wives. Oh my goodness. What a tragedy. And David finally realizes that, and he's very regretful, right? And everything's okay. No. He sends Uriah back to the battlefield. And what's Uriah get to carry with him? His death sentence. His death sentence. And what happens when Uriah gets back to the battle? He goes ahead, and who's he fighting for? The king. Who's he honoring? The king. Who's David honoring? Himself. Any of us guilty of that from time to time? Yes, we all are. But you know, David suffers some consequences here with... Then David says to him, stay here one more night. We talked about that. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. And he wrote, move him to the front of the battle and then withdraw back from him so that he gets killed. That will solve all of his problems, right? That's what he thought. Joab sent David a full account of the battle. He instructed the messenger, when you have finished giving the king this account of the battle, the king's anger may flare up and may ask you, why did you get so close to the city to fight? Don't you know they would shoot arrows from the wall? Who killed Amalek, son of Jehabesha? Didn't a woman drop a stone on his head from the wall so that he would die in Terebez? Why would Joab send that back to the king? And the king's the one that sent the letter, right? And Joab's sure that the king will say this to the messenger so that he's trying to comfort the king, right? In their eyes, it's all about the king, right? In David's eyes, it's all about what? Covering up his sin. Now, what does sin do? It separates us from God. So, David said to Joab, don't let this upset you. The sword devours one as well as the other. Press the attack forward against the city and destroy it. Saying this to encourage Joab, when Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. After the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house, and she became his wife and bore a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. So do our sins displease the Lord? Yes, they do. Even when we don't get caught in them in the world's view, and we think that we've deceived people and everything's okay, there's still a consequence for that. right? And we need to understand that God always sees everything and always sees the consequence. So David now, he's married to Bathsheba, right? So he thinks everything is good, right? Nobody knows about this except, I'm sure there's a few people that knew about it. But he's thinking, I'm golden, right? There's a story that I want to read to you. Once there was a little boy who lived in the country. They had to use an outhouse for a facility, and the little boy absolutely hated the outhouse. I would hate the outhouse. How about you guys? Because it was always hot in the summer and cold in the winter, and it stunk all the time. So the little boy decided that because the outhouse was on the bank by a creek, he would push the outhouse into the water. After a spring rain, when the creek was fully swollen, the boy knew it was time to push that outhouse into the creek. He got a big stick and pushed it, and the outhouse toppled into the creek and floated away. Later that night, his dad told him that they were going to make a trip to the woodshed. The little boy knew that meant a spanking. He asked his father, why? And the father said, because someone pushed the outhouse into the creek today, and I think it was you. Wasn't it, son? The boy answered, yes, Dad, it was. Then the little boy thought and said, today, Dad, I read in school that when George Washington cut down the cherry tree, he didn't get in any trouble because he told his dad the truth. The father responded, well, son, George Washington's dad was not in the cherry tree. Yeah. When we're involved in it, it's always more to pay. You know, and so David thinks he's gotten away with this, right? The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there are two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. You guys know what a ewe lamb is, right? Yeah. Little cute thing, right? Little cute thing until they poop and stuff like that, but. So grew up with him and the children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was late, like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep and cattle to prepare the meal for this traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to that poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. What do you think of that? That's fair, isn't it? You'd like it if your rich neighbor came to you and took your ewe lamb away from you, wouldn't you? Might get shot in the barn when he's not supposed to be in the barn. So there's a story going on here, isn't it? Nathan, the prophet, is told he needs to go to David and tell him this story. And what do you think David said to Nathan the prophet? What do you think he said? Discipline. Huh? Discipline. Yeah, discipline him. David burned with anger, it said, against the man and said to Nathan. And remember, what did David just do? David just took Bathsheba, his wife, from him. Uriah, unknowing, right, fighting battle for the king, out at war when the king should have been there and he wasn't. He was back home. As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. Wow. David's pretty rough on the poor guy, isn't he? And how many of us will be upset with somebody because we find out that they got a sin in their life? And we say, oh, that's terrible. Sin is terrible, right? It is. But what should our objective be as brothers and sisters in Christ? bringing that person back in to the restoration to God's grace, right? Shouldn't that be the objective? Boy, David sure didn't think that here, did he? Then Nathan said to him, "You are the man. This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all of Israel and Judah. And if all this had been to you too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing this evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Amorites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house. And because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own, this is what the Lord says. Out of your own household I am going to bring calamity to you. Before your very eyes I will take your wives and give them to one who is chosen to you or is close to you, and will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did in secret, but I will do these things in broad daylight before all of Israel. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against God. Now there's the repentant heart that God wants to see. How much better off would have David done, Ben? How much better off would we be when we've done something wrong, when we've sinned, to be on our knees before the Lord in full confession? I was told a story one time, a thought process once, about the cross. And that's where we really need to be, is that on our knees at the foot of the cross, right? Where Christ was crucified, because he shed his blood for our sins so that we could be with the Father, reconciled back to him, which it talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, partway through the chapter. It talks about reconciliation back to God. And that ought to be our job as Christians, reconciling people back to God. But think of this picture, and I think I said it maybe the last time, about a rope tied to the top of the cross. And it's got a hook up there that holds the rope there. And we're running around the cross. Rather than being at our knees, we're on that rope with it fully extended, with our legs swung out, swinging around, seeing how far away from the cross we can get and still be saved. Isn't that what we do when we hide sin? We think we're getting away from it, away with it. There's no consequence to it. But David suffered consequences here, didn't he? The boy that was born to Bathsheba through the adulterous act, what happened to that little boy? He died. And what did David do? David mourned for that boy, didn't he? 7 days it talks about in Scripture that he was clothed in sackcloth and was mourning the death of the baby, right? And everybody's worried about David because he's not eating anything, right? The elders that are in the house can't go to him because they don't want to say anything. The boy dies. They still don't want to say anything, so they're listening about what they need to do. King David sees that, and what does David say? Has the boy died? And they said, yes, the boy's died. And David gets up, and what's he do? He eats, gets clean. Why does he do that? There's no more sense in mourning for the dead one, right? David needs to go out and live a better life, doesn't he? Because he knows that God has forgiven him. Because of what? What's the word that I read about there a little bit ago? Starts with an R? Repentance. Is there forgiveness of our sins if there's no repentance? No. There has to be repentance of our sins in order for there to be forgiveness from God. Has to be. And let's go to the end of this chapter. It talks about, so David mustered the entire army. Let me go back just a little. Meanwhile, Joab fights against Rahab of the Amorites and captures the royal citadel. Joab then sends message to David saying, I have fought against Rahab and taken its water supply. Now muster the rest of the troops and besiege the city and capture it. Otherwise, I will take the city and it will be named after me. And what does David do? Does David say that's okay? No. What's David do? He musters the rest of the army and he goes out and what? Defeats the city. And what prize is in the city for him? So David musters the entire army and went to Rahab and attacked and captured it. David took the crown from the king's head and it was placed on his own head. It weighed a talent of gold and it was set with precious stones. Does anybody know what a talent? I asked my wife to look this up, Google it this morning on the way here. Does anybody know what a talent of gold weighs? 75 pounds. 75 pounds. Now, how much, what did you say the value of that was? About $2 million today? And we're talking 3 or 4 or 5 thousand years earlier? 75 pounds. Can you imagine having 75 pounds set on your head? So why did God reward David with the capture of the city and a 75-pound crown? Because he was still mad at him? No. But there's consequences to sin, isn't there? And we read about, and it'll be preached on next week, about his son Absalom. What a terrible man he was. But God gave him another son, Solomon, which that will be later on too. You know, so even though there is sin or we've had sin in our lives, and I would encourage all of us to stop sinning in your life, and you would say, well, that's just ridiculous. I can't stop sinning in my life. So it's suggested by God. Actually, Jesus Christ, when he healed the woman, what did he tell her? Go and sin no more. Golly, she didn't even have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit back then, but Jesus asked her to do that. So if you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, if you have God himself indwelling you, that actually breathed life into man, and you walked away, we walked away, and he says stop sinning, don't you think that ought to be a pretty good effort? We ought to do it? But man, that almost sounds impossible, doesn't it? So let's look at another opportunity here. Let's just love God more. If David would have been loving God the way he would have supposed to have been, he would have never been tempted to do that sin, isn't it? So the question comes back to us, in our lives, what are we doing that we shouldn't be doing that draws us away from the focus of God? And if you're reading Scripture every single day, the odds of us getting drawn away are probably less. So how many of us are reading Scripture every day? Well, gosh, that's pretty difficult to do. Satan's an evil, tempter's person. He is looking and roaming the earth for what? For somebody he can lick on and like you? No, it's someone who he may devour. So when we're dragged off in sin and we're enjoying it, there's no repentance, right? None. How do we get forgiveness from God? By repentance. What happens when we ask for forgiveness from God? He gives it to us abundantly, doesn't he? Romans chapter 6 talks about sinning. We need to sin a bunch so we can have more grace. And Paul tells us, no, by no means. Stop sinning. But like I said, that is a hard task to do. But we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus asked us, the two greatest commandments is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if we'd practice that, then probably we will be drug off into sin way less. So I would encourage you, let's practice loving God more today. And as we close, 75 pounds is one talent. That is huge. Plus it had jewels and rubies in it and stuff like that. You know? But David got it because he did what? He went out and finished the fight. Finish the battle that God has you in. Finish it so that you can be victorious. Share what Christ has done in your life with everybody that you come in contact with. You don't have to know all of Scripture to do that. You just have to know the story. That's an interesting thing. I've never heard that before, the story. I think that's the book that we're in, isn't it? The story. What's the story of? In the videos, what's it talks about? It's God's story, it's my story, and it's your story, isn't it? It's our story. The Bible is what? The history of God. so that we can discover who this God is that loves us so much that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Almighty God, I'm so thankful for each breath that you allow me to take. And Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within me, Father, so that I have the opportunity to share Christ's love with people that are lost. And it's only because of the indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit, that I am able to even do that. That I'm able to even come close to loving you the way that I need to love you, Father. Thank you so much for God's grace. Thank you so much, Father, for you dying on the cross for us in the form of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Christ, for reminding us that you were going to send the Comforter to indwell within us. And it is incredible. The men that walked away from Christ when he was arrested, the men did the very opposite thing after his resurrection and after they received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Father. They were huddled together in fear in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came upon the 120, Father. But they were empowered to go out and preach the gospel, and 3,000 lives were saved that day. Can you imagine, can you or I imagine what the Lord could do with this church if we would go out and share the love of Jesus Christ with each person that we come in contact with? Father, I would ask that each and every one of us would have that burning desire to share what you have done in our lives with people that are lost and hurting in the world, because we have all of their answers within the cover of the Bible, Father. Every need can be met in their life. They will find joy, Father, in you. Maybe not happiness, but it's joy. And joy is so much more important, because Paul even writes from prison to find joy in every situation. Lord, help us to do that. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. What's